Coming up on this week's show, we'll be chatting with actor and producer James Quinn, and he's going to chat with us about his upcoming projects. But first, sports fans, let's head on over to the Sports Corner with Clint as he catches us up on what happened in the sports world. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
Summer isn't fun when you're hungry.
Give me a math quiz.
I'll stay after class.
I'll clean the chalkboard.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
If your child relies on free school lunches, we can help provide them with free meals this summer. Visit feedingamerica.org/summermeals to find your local food bank for help. Together, we're feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the What's Up Cindy B Radio Show. It is time to go to the sports corner with our favorite commentator, Clint. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you doing?
Doing good. Okay, so it's baseball season. We love what's going on with the Rangers. Now, something almost happened with the Texas Rangers, and it's something that we don't ever see that often. So take it away.
I believe that you may be talking about Mr. Kobayashi Maru, as we like to give him the nickname. Colby Lewis came oh so close to a perfect game in his last start. He ended up walking a guy in the eighth inning that kind of broke up the perfect game, and then came out in the ninth inning and lost the no-hitter on a very long single where the ball was in and out of Nomar Mazara's glove as he kind of bounced off the wall. He couldn't quite hang on to it. So unfortunately for Colby, he loses both the perfect game and the no-hitter very late in that game, but still an amazing outing from Colby Lewis. At this point in time, when you look around the American League and you look at, you know, who could win the Cy Young Award, I'm not sure that there's anybody even in contention besides Colby Lewis at this point. He leads the American League in quality starts. He hasn't lost an outing yet. He has a 6-0 record. His strikeout to walk ratio is outstanding. His ERA drops every time he comes out, just about. So Colby is having an amazing season right now. And if you're a Rangers fan, you're really excited about that because you're not paying him very much to do that. Overall, the Rangers are doing really well right now. They are 42-25, the best that they have ever been after 67 games in a season. With each win that they rack up, that continues to be the new record. So they currently lead Seattle by 6.5 games in that division. Houston trails Seattle with Los Angeles behind Houston, and then the Oakland Athletics at the bottom of that division, 14.5 games behind the Rangers. So the Rangers are playing really good baseball right now. They have the best record in all of the American League. They have the second best record in all of baseball, with just about 4 games behind the Cubs right now for the best record. So it's a really great season right now for the Rangers, and it's really being set up by those starters, Cole Hamels, Colby Lewis, Martin Perez, Yu Darvish when he gets to start, which, you know, Yu came out, started a couple of games, and then all of a sudden had some neck and shoulder tightness, which is a common thing to happen after one comes back from Tommy John surgery. They did, as kind of a precaution, put him on the 15-day DL, so he will be gone for probably about a month. As he goes and makes a few rehab starts to get back into form, and then he'll be back up. And then don't forget the Rangers still have A.J. Griffin, who started out the season really well for them as a starter. He's on the DL. He's currently on rehab assignment, so we should see him again before the All-Star break. Sin-Soo Choo has recently come back for the Rangers. Adrian Beltre was out a little bit this last week with a hamstring injury. He is back starting. The Rangers actually have too many players. They don't know who all to play right now. They're having to find places for Jerickson Profar, who has been red hot since he came back up to the big leagues. They're having to find places for him to play. Sometimes that means that Mitch Moreland or Prince Fielder is sitting down and not playing for the Rangers because that's just how good their lineup is doing right now for them. When we look at the rest of the American League, the Cleveland Indians currently lead the Central Division, but as you look at the Central Division, the Kansas City Royals are right behind them. The Detroit Tigers and the Chicago White Sox are right behind them. Between those four teams, there's only 2.5 games difference. So that division is really, really close until you get to the Minnesota Twins, who are way far behind. And then in the East, the big powerhouse of Major League Baseball, the Baltimore Orioles currently lead it. The Boston Red Sox and the Toronto Blue Jays, though, are right on their heels. The Yankees and the Rays are at the bottom of that division. Jumping over to the National League real quick, the Nationals are kind of pulling away in their division. They are 5 games up currently on the Mets. The Atlanta Braves are in that division, have the worst record in all of baseball right now. They are 21.5 games behind the Nationals. In the Central, you have your MLB best Chicago Cubs, which same story as the Rangers. Their lineup is just so hard to hit, and their starting pitching just every time it comes out is giving them really strong games. That club being led by Jake Arrieta, that almost every time he comes up to pitch, it seems like he's got a chance at a no-hitter. They currently lead the St. Louis Cardinals by 10 games. So that division is almost over, and we're not even at the halfway point of the season. And then looking at the West, the San Francisco Giants lead the West. They have a 6.5 game lead over the Dodgers. So those are kind of your leaders right now in baseball, but your Texas Rangers are one of the best out there going right now. And then some other interesting news in baseball is Ichiro Suzuki has hit his 4,257th professional hit. The reason why that is significant is that Pete Rose's career total for Major League Baseball was 4,256. However, 1,278 of Ichiro's hits came in the Japanese Major Leagues and not in Major League Baseball. So it's creating quite the stir kind of in Major League Baseball right now of who is the actual hits king. Is it Pete Rose, who did it all in MLB, or is it Ichiro Suzuki, who did a significant chunk in Japan before coming over to Major League Baseball?
So the fact that baseball is going really strong, let's move over to the NBA. Now, from what I heard, not a whole lot of people were happy about Steph Curry.
Yeah, you know, if we kind of rewind to the beginning of the series, because we really haven't had a chance to talk since this final series started between the Cavs and the Warriors. The Warriors came out, won the first two games, then lost game 3 in Cleveland, then won game 4 in Cleveland. So they had a 3-1 series lead, and they were going home to Golden State to try to win that game. And since then, Cleveland has just absolutely turned it on. LeBron James has scored over 40 points in the last two games. Him and Kyrie Irving combined for 82 points in game 5 to put that game away. So they have forced a game 7. And the big drama has come out of game 6, where Steph Curry fouled out of the game, got so frustrated, he ended up throwing his mouthpiece, and it ended up striking a fan who was sitting nearby. And then after the game, his wife, tweeted some things suggesting that the NBA is doing this on purpose, that they're making some certain calls on purpose so that they can stretch this series out to 7 games to get the most bang for their buck, because you know the NBA is a business, and every game that's on TV means more money for that business. So if they can get this final series to 7 games, they get a lot more money than they do if it had ended in 6. So the series is tied up at 3 games apiece. As we talked about before the series started, the city of Cleveland has not had a championship since 1954. And then no team has ever come back in an NBA Finals from a 3-1 deficit and won the Finals. and only 7 teams have ever come back from a 3-1 deficit in NBA playoffs to win a series, including the Golden State Warriors, who did it against Oklahoma City right before this finals. So Steph Curry kind of losing his cool, very uncharacteristic of him in that game six, striking a fan. He has been fined $25,000 for his outbursts in that game. There will be no fine for him. Draymond Green did get, there will be no suspension for him. Draymond Green did get suspended for game five of this series, which Golden State was hoping would be the clinching game. They really struggled without Draymond Green in their lineup. He was suspended for his second kick to the groinal area in this playoffs postseason. He had another one in the series with Oklahoma City that we talked about. It happened again, this time with LeBron James. So he was suspended for game five since it was his second incident in the postseason. And that will be something that the NBA looks at in the offseason, is whether or not the rule to suspend somebody for a finals series is warranted or not.
I mean, I was really surprised that I saw that headline, that Steph Curry just went ballistic. And I'm like,
yeah, it's very uncharacteristic for him. He's normally, you know, a very happy guy, a very smiley guy, a very cool, calm, and collected kind of guy. Just very frustrating that game. I've never heard of Steph Curry fouling out. Usually he doesn't play well enough of defense to even get any fouls on him, period. So to hear him foul out was very unusual. Just a very odd game all around. And I'm not saying there's anything to his wife's comments or not, but Mavs fans certainly know from the 06 finals that we felt like that there was some goofy business going on with the officiating in that series, where we lost to Miami, where, you know, the first two games of that series, Dwayne Wade only had a combined like 7 trips to the foul line, where in the next game he had almost 30. So, you know, not unusual for people to question the refereeing choices in these final series, especially when it comes to pushing it to an extra game like this. But it's really hard to say, but Steph Curry certainly upset about the way the game was called. And so was Golden State.
Yeah. Got any more NBA news?
I think that's it for NBA. You know, game 7 is coming up. It's going to be a big one. It's, you know, both of these teams have a chance to win. It will be at Golden State's home there in Oakland. And I fully expect Golden State to kind of gather themselves together and win this game 7 and send Cleveland back home without another championship.
All right. So let's head on over to the NFL. What you got?
I think the biggest NFL news going right now is that of Super Bowl MVP Von Miller. He does not have a current contract with the Denver Broncos. And they have tried to put a franchise tag on him. He will not sign a franchise tag to play. So he has not been at any minicamp, any practice, any OTA, nothing yet with the Broncos. He even put a picture out on Instagram where he cut Denver Broncos president John Elway out of the picture. So a little bit of resentment between the two parties right now as to what exactly the contract will be and if they will get a deal done is a big question mark right now. And to not have the Super Bowl MVP and the guy that pretty much led your defense to that Super Bowl not on the field with you when you play game 1 of this season, that's going to be a huge blow to our organization that already lost their starting quarterback and their heir apparent starting quarterback, one to retirement, one to free agency. So, you know, definitely some issues going on for the defending Super Bowl champions right now. The other big news is that Michael Orr, who many people may remember from the Blind Side movie that was made about his early life, he is the Panthers' left tackle, and they have extended his contract to continue on being the Panthers left tackle to protect Cam Newton going forward. And Cam Newton has declared that he will not be dabbing this season, that it has gotten old and he will find a new thing to do this upcoming season.
All right. You got anything else?
I think that's it for NFL.
All right. So you got any more sports news you want to end on?
Well, I've got a few things. Just today it was announced that the entire Russian track and field team will be suspended for the 2016 Rio Olympics that are coming up here in August. They will not be allowed to compete because of a large doping scandal that is currently going on with Russian Olympians. So that's a huge blow to the Russian Olympians, and sends quite the clear message from the Olympic Committee that they will not accept cheating, and they will not accept steroids or doping of any kind. So yeah, just the entire team was banned from the Olympics. Now, Russia will still have Olympians, but none in the track and field categories.
Very interesting. I mean, I wonder why they decided, hey, let's do something illegal so we could win the Olympics.
Well, you know, it's not the first time that Russia has been caught up in some of these scandals. I think the biggest one that comes to mind was a few years ago in Paris figure skating. The Russians were caught bribing a judge so that their Paris figure skating team could win the gold medal again over the Canadian team. And they ended up, instead of stripping the Russian team, they ended up just giving a second gold medal to the Canadian team who had actually won the event. They've been caught cheating several times in gymnastics. So not the first time that Russia has done this sort of thing. You know, there's been a lot of rumors about China lying about gymnast ages before. So, you know, these countries will try to do anything to bring pride to their country, and getting those gold and silver and bronze medals is a big deal to some of these countries, especially countries like Russia and China. It doesn't surprise me because of that history and because of the current state of the Chinese government. It means more to them. It means that, hey, our way of life is better than your way of life, and we have this to prove it now, to show that, hey, we can produce better people. We can, you know, through our communist ways or our way of doing things, we can produce gold medal winners in categories that you can't. So, yeah, I mean, that it completely goes back to the government ties. And you definitely saw that in the Beijing Olympics with China, just how important it was for them to win those gold medals.
All right. What's next?
All right. Well, just a couple other little things. Well, not little things, but very sad things. We did have to say goodbye these last couple of weeks to some amazing athletes. And we'll start first with Kimbo Slice, who was kind of the father of mixed martial arts fighting. Certainly the first big name in the sport. He passed away at 42 years old. And then the really big loss was Muhammad Ali, probably the first big-time, well-known multimedia athlete ever. He passed away from Parkinson's at 72 years old. And so we did lose those two guys in the last 2 weeks. So condolences to those families and to all the fans that have shown a ton of support for those guys over these last 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, it was really sad. And, I mean, did you hear about Will Smith being there? What I thought really, really cool was that Billy Crystal gave the eulogy.
And it just shows you just how big of a person Cassius Clay / Muhammad Ali was, and just, you know, what an impact he had on our culture, from, you know, refusing to be drafted to changing to the religion of Islam, to just, you know, winning all these amazing fights for pride and for people and things that he did. You know, the thriller in Manila, you still hear that term thrown about all the time in modern culture. Just a, you know, an icon, and all these guys wanted to come pay tribute to him.
Yeah, well, rest in peace, guys. I mean, it's really bittersweet that Muhammad Ali just left a really great legacy, and he will always be remembered.
Yeah, and I think that my biggest Muhammad Ali memory was just him fighting through the Parkinson's disease to light that torch at the 96 Atlanta Games, and just how, like, how much pride it put in America that, hey, this is, you know, our legacy athlete that we can put up there to light this torch to start these games. And just how cool that was in 96 when I was just a kid watching him do that.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's like I said, it's bittersweet. We all have memories. I mean, we have catchphrases that a lot of people still use. So, I mean, rest in peace. All right, you have anything else you want to end on?
I think that's it. I think we covered just about everything.
All right, where can we follow you on Twitter?
You can follow me on Twitter at CavemanK, and Caveman, just like Clint, is spelled with a K.
All right, if you could hold the line, I'll be right with you. All right, so coming up next, we'll be chatting with actor and producer James Quinn, and he's going to catch us up on what he's been up to. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Welcome back to the What's Up Cindy B radio show. I am your host, Cindy B, and on the line we have a very talented actor and producer, James Quinn. James has chatted with us before about his past films, and today James is going to talk to us about a few of his projects. So James, how are you?
Cindy, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for asking. Okay, so it has been a while since we've heard from you. So what's going on? What have you been up to?
Well, since we last talked, we finished post-production on Servant of the Spirit, the horror film that Convergent Pictures had produced as their first film here back at Christmas time. And I actually got back into the writing aspect of things. And so just finishing up my first feature script here in a long time called The Looney Bin. And we are set to shoot our teaser for that here this upcoming week. And then so the feature will follow this fall, but that's our baby right now. That's going to be the big one that we're all having a blast with. It's a comedy/dramedy.
Okay, I've heard of those. Now, for people who don't know what those are, give us a little detail on what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. The reason I'm calling it a dramedy, it's more or less a comedy, but it's got this underlying dramatic element. So a lot of this film itself will take place in the nut house, if you will, hence the name, the Looney Bin. And so my character, Reese, he ends up in the nut house because his fiance is killed in a car accident that he actually was driving the car in. And so he didn't take it real well. And he ended up trying to kill himself multiple times. And so there's where your drama comes into play. Ends up getting himself put into the nut house, if you will, the Looney Bin. And so he is in there for 5 years now. And every time he's up for review, he does something crazy and unique to get himself basically set back again so that he can't be released. And, you know, there's a lot of crazy characters in this film and a lot of outlandish comedy. But any time that, like I said, he's about to be released, that's when it becomes a little more dramatic for him that he can't handle society anymore. He doesn't want to be in a world where he's at, it's controllable, the environment inside the Looney Bin.
Wow.
In a dramedy, that's why I call it dramedy. You know, it's usually when you have a good comedy and has that underlying dramatic element, and I believe that's what we have.
Oh, well, that's really interesting. I can't wait to see the trailer, first of all. I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody's going to be really interested in seeing it after you just described it. It caught my attention. So,
When
do you think we could expect a trailer?
Well, what we're doing first is we are working on the teaser to put out there for basically the rest of our crowdfunding and then to move with our investors. And so that will be a trailer in sorts itself. We'll probably be able to see that, I would say, within the next month and a half,
okay,
if not sooner. And so we'll get that out. And then once we get the feature film done this fall, then we'll have an official trailer or two that we can put out to really grab people's attention. But I think this teaser that we're about to do is one of the more entertaining scenes in our film. So we're going to have a blast with it. It's basically a group therapy session gone awry. It's just nothing but mayhem breaks out for the entire 3 or 4 minutes that you'll see in this teaser coming up. So I can't wait to actually get it out there for you, for you to see it, for everyone to see it.
So apparently you've been really, really, really busy. Tell us about the movie Servant of the Spirit.
Servant of the Spirit was our first. I actually co-founded Convergent Pictures with my partner, Simon Vercini, who does all of our directing. We came up with the idea for Servant of the Spirit with our writer, Stephen Polsky. And it's something different. It's not the same, I want to say, recycled type horror, because this actually is based on Haitian voodoo and revenge. And so when this Haitian Loa, her daughter is killed by a slave master. The slave master's life is involved, and because the slave master is fooling around with the slaves. And so when this little girl gets killed, the slave, she actually calls upon Baka Lu Baka, who is like the last person on the other side of the universe that you do not want to call upon. And when she summons him, he takes over her body and her spirit and comes back and kills everybody involved. And I mean, not just the people that were involved, but their families for generations to come. And so it does kind of jump around in time a little bit, which really makes it interesting and unique. It's very, very scary on some levels. We're excited to get that out there because a lot of people have been supporting us. I don't know if you had a chance to see the trailer for it yet, but we had a lot of fun putting it together. Post-production has just finished up here actually this week, and so that will be coming out real soon. We're in a few film festivals, and then probably have a distribution deal lined up hopefully by year's end for that.
Not only are you acting and producing, but you also have your own talk show. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I kind of fell into that one. I was working on a TV series, a pilot here in Pittsburgh called Sickness over the past year. And Sickness is not The Walking Dead, but along the lines of it. So there's not zombies involved. It's a sick epidemic. So The Walking Dead itself had a talk show with it. It was called The Talking Dead. And so when people really like the idea for Sickness and this epidemic that's taking place, they wanted to have a talk show to go with it. So the talk show is called Sick Talk Cafe, and it's the follow-up to Sickness. And basically what we do with that show is I was asked to be the host, and I have a wonderful co-host, Jamie Kitten. We are hosting that. We're bringing on characters every week after the show airs. We're going to be bringing on different characters, different actors, to interview them about the previous episodes. So that'll keep people really engaged, where people can tweet us, they can call in and talk to us about Sickness and get their questions answered. Because I know there's been a lot of people in Pittsburgh, at least, that have been extremely interested in the series itself. So it's given me a chance to host my first show. Excuse me, I can't talk tonight. And it's been a lot of fun so far. We got the first 3 episodes under our belt. It'll be out here soon.
So for people who are not in the Philly area, where can we watch those?
Well, Sickness itself is being chopped around on different networks. So for the time being, the pilot episode of Sick Talk Cafe here online, on YouTube, on Vimeo, on Ustream itself, all that over the summer in order to gain awareness for Sickness. And so once the show itself takes off, it will probably get a plug right after the show, I would say, on whatever network that they end up talking with. And I can't say what network yet because I don't know, because they're in negotiations, I guess, the production company with 2, maybe 3 networks. And so that's exciting to have them compete over the series.
Wow, James, that's so cool. The fact that you have your own talk show, I'm sure you have a blast every single time.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and we're going to continue to have fun with it. We're we're having some really great guests on the show, and I can't wait to see where it takes us. That's something different for me outside of the acting world, and it's a nice new challenge, and it's really rewarding.
As if you're not busy enough, are you working on anything new?
I am, actually. Since I started writing, I just, outside of the Looney Bin, I wrote two other short films recently that we're producing, one of which I'll be filming in a couple weeks, and the other probably later in the summer. So, and I've also committed to a couple other films in the Pittsburgh and Cleveland, Ohio areas here, probably between late summer, early fall. So, yeah, I guess I could say I'm blessed that I'm keeping this busy right now, because it's not always the case in this business.
That is very true. You never know what you're going to get, right?
No, and that's why I'll try to juggle as much as I can while it's there. It's feast or famine at times, and right now it's a good time.
Where can we get more information on your show, on your future movies, all that good stuff?
Well, Convergent Pictures is our company, and so a lot of our, there's a Facebook page called Convergent Pictures, LLC. There is a Twitter page at Convergent Fic. There is a Vimeo page for Convergent Pictures as well, where you'll be able to find all of our latest videos on there. Not to mention, I think we both know how much of a tweeter I am. So if you follow my page itself, the JQ Way, you can follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, on IMDb. Everything I have goes by the JQ Way. So that's kind of been something that works for me, and it makes it easy for everybody to find me.
That's
and find
awesome.
The projects that we're working on, so it keeps things simple.
Well, I can't wait to talk to you more about your future projects. Can't wait to see those trailers. That's going to be awesome for Looney Bin. And
thank you. I can't wait to do it.
I really would love to have you back.
Yeah, anytime. It's always great to be on the show, Cindy. You have a great show. It entertains me. Not only do you have some interesting guests, but you keep your listeners entertained with not only sports, but current events. And so I think that's what makes your show unique. So I'm happy to be here.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. And like I said, can't wait to see your future stuff.
Hey, thanks for having me again, Cindy.
All right, if you could hold the line, I'll be right with you, okay?
Thank you.
All right, and you could definitely look up his Facebook page, www.facebook.com/TheJQWay. And also follow him on Twitter at TheJQWay. Like you said, very easy to look up online. All right. Thank you so much, James. I really, really, really appreciate it. You are always welcome on the show. Clint, thank you so much for catching us up on what happened in the sports world. And of course, you guys, thank you so much for listening. I'll talk to y'all next time. Bye.